It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, April 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Apple has released information about its quarterly earnings, and in a word, the news is iPhones. 61 million sold this quarter, and a jump of 27% in company revenue over a year ago. Apple has sold fewer iPads than expected, but the company's mountain of cash on hand continues to grow, thanks in no small part to growing sales in China. Many people are interested in what the Apple Watch will mean for next quarter's numbers, but those numbers might end up being, again, about the iPhone. Frank Gillette at Forrester.
You need to have an iPhone in order to use an Apple Watch. So by definition, they're always going to sell fewer watches than phones. What's interesting and what will be harder to judge is the extent to which the watch will get people to buy more iPhones than they would have otherwise, because they attract customers who weren't interested in an iPhone alone, but are interested in the combination of the two.
Frank Gillette at Forrester. Here's a story that reflects the times we live in. As news of Nepal's tragic and deadly 7.8 earthquake spread on social media, tech companies that were aggregating that data took notice, and some of them used that information to try and help in different ways. On Facebook, users near the quake saw a special safety check button. The company says millions have used it since. One of them is Thibaut Marcès, a PhD student in the city of Lucknow in northern India. Thibaut, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Very happy to chat with you guys.
How did you discover that this button existed?
I felt the tremor at about noon on Saturday, and I just, you know, went online and tried to get some more information on, you know, what was going on. And then that's when I realized that there had been a huge earthquake in Nepal. And that's when I realized that they had set up this new function, safety check, I believe they call it.
How did you use it?
I saw a list of friends. So I was looking for, you know, my friends in Nepal. I was trying to see if they had marked themselves as safe. And that's how I found that most of my friends were actually safe. I also got a prompt myself. I traveled to Kathmandu 2 months ago, and so a lot of my friends actually started sending me messages on Facebook because they actually thought I was still in Kathmandu. So that's when I decided to mark myself as, you know, safe.
Have you been thinking at all how technology is impacting this process as people who are close to you there in northern India are trying to connect with people in Kathmandu or people in Nepal?
I think it's a really terrific function. I happen to have worked as well in Haiti after the earthquake. This was not available then. And I actually think this could have made a difference. But yeah, no, it's interesting to think about, you know, I have my own concerns about privacy issues on Facebook, but I thought this was great.
Thibaut Marcès is in northern India in the city of Lucknow. He's doing PhD field work there in the delivery of social services, and he was close enough to the earthquake to feel the tremors and to use Facebook's tool to connect with people who he was worried about. Thibaut, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben. No worries.
This week in New York, a conference called Inside Bitcoins is underway. It'll feature an interesting idea that part of Bitcoin's slightly inscrutable technological design, the so-called blockchain, could be used for other things. This would be music to the ears of people who are concerned about Bitcoin's future, but interested in leveraging some of its tech to make our daily transactions easier and more efficient. Adam Ludwin founded Chain.com, which works with companies around digital transactions. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. So first, just a little refresher here, the blockchain.
I think the best way to understand the blockchain is to start by asking, what problem does the blockchain actually solve? How do you send money or any type of value over the open internet? When you move value on the blockchain, instantly that transaction goes out to the network. And about every 10 minutes, the network looks at the last batch of transactions that have happened in that period of time, consolidates or has a consensus around which transactions are valid and which were attempts at fraud.
Let's spin this forward a little bit. You know, Bitcoin uses this technology, but your company and others are trying to apply this technology to other industries. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So one of the challenges with Bitcoin is that the price of that currency goes up and down every single day. So it's a little bit like using a foreign currency in your home country. And so what our company is doing is using this open network, the blockchain, to send other types of assets and currencies, which we're already familiar with. And so we're enabling large institutions to put their currencies, their assets, on this network.
Won't these institutions basically cease to exist if we have an effective way of making these transactions on the internet through a protocol?
So I don't think so. And this is where I and my company, Chain.com, sort of are a little bit different from many others in the Bitcoin community. When big institutions with their brands issue assets and say, we're good for it, people are going to say, yeah, I feel good about that. I think the big institutional financial companies have started to realize that they have a role to play and they have an opportunity to be big winners in this new digital landscape for financial services.
Adam Ludwin is founder at Chain.com. It's a company that thinks of new ways to use the blockchain for different industries. Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Question for you. What might you use the blockchain for? Tweet us your thoughts. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.